Welcome to the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. My name is Chris, and I'm your host here. This is podcast number 3, which is going to be the first of a 4-part podcast on chickens. We teach a class here at the Haven Homestead on chicken care and butchering, as I mentioned before, and this is going to be the class, more or less, without the visuals and without the practical application of hands-on actually processing the chicken and feeling what the craw feels like and things like that. So this is just the audio of the class information. So today we're gonna cover most of the pros and cons of raising chickens and some of the inputs and outputs of your homestead chicken operation. You can find more information and some of our blog articles on grit.com. My wife blogs for Grit, and the name there is the Haven Homesteaders for Grit, and if you just search for working chickens, you will get some of this information. And we'll talk more about that on some of the outputs of chicken, of our chicken friends. Some of the pros to having chickens, or some of the reasons to have chickens. So first on the list I put on was fertilizer. So chicken manure makes great fertilizer. And the first ingredient in most fertilizers is nitrogen. And when you look on a fertilizer bag, blood meal or bone meal or any of the gardening fertilizers, you'll see there's NPK, and that stands for nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Potassium being potash. So with a chicken, and I found this on plantee.com. It's like you make a plan, PLAN, and tea, like you drink, TEA.com, on their article Manure Matters, found some interesting things about chicken manure. The nitrogen is 1.1%, which is pretty decent when it comes to the nitrogen for a natural fertilizer like that. 0.8% on the phosphorus and 0.5% on the potassium. And this was, she says that Marion is who wrote this. Let's see what the, Marion Owen, who also co-authored The Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul, which was kind of interesting. This is an entertaining article that they wrote about manure, and she says her source is Rodale's All New Encyclopedia of Organic Gardening, and it's a Sunset Publishing, which are really good guides for a lot of the stuff that we like to learn about here. So she talks that poultry manure is the richest animal manure in NPK. Chicken manure is considered hot and must be composted before adding it to the garden. So that's one of the things that we've tried to do with ours, is when we take the manure, we put it into a compost bin, and over the year we pile it up, and then it shrinks down and decomposes, and by the end of that year, we can use it in the next spring's garden. And usually the beginning of the year is when I get into the chicken pen and muck out the manure that's collected in there. We spread straw and hay throughout the year to add the organic matter because of how rich in nitrogen chicken manure is, that it's such a hot manure that it's important to add organic material that's high in carbon, so that your compost won't be too hot, so that you can the bugs that eat the nitrogen-rich manure are different than the ones that eat the carbon-rich, so together they kind of make a symbiotic relationship, and it's important to have carbon and nitrogen in your compost. So we add that in the pan while they're growing and eating spreading manure everywhere, and kind of makes a layer system. And then at the end of the year, I shovel it up and I put it at the end of the pan closest to the compost bin, where they scratch through it again, get worms and bugs out of it, and then I shovel the pile back up. You know, they spread the pile out, and I pile it back up, and then put it over the fence right into the compost bin, which is in the garden, right over the fence from the chicken pen. Another thing I'd like to add on manure is that if it's one of the things you'd like to sell, that's also something that you could put into your marketing plan, is selling the chicken manure to, you know, all interested parties. That way that you can make money off of the waste as well as some of the other things that the chickens give you. The next thing I wrote on my list is eggs. So with the eggs, it really depends on breed how many eggs you're going to get, what color the shells, if that matters to you, or most quality. It all depends on the feed as to what quality of egg you're going to be getting, but size depends on breed. And we'll cover a brief overview of some of the chicken breeds here, some of the main chicken breeds, and as far as I'm concerned, the number of eggs is really something that will change depending on what your chicken breed is. Some chickens can lay over 200 eggs a year, and some of the more ornamental breeds will lay considerably less, but they'll still lay. We have a Polish hen, which is the chickens with tufts on top of their heads, feather tufts. She's one of our more reliable layers, which is kind of interesting. We didn't think that was going to happen when we first got her. It was from someone else's flock. They wanted to get rid of their chickens, and so we brought her over here, and she didn't lay at all, and I was kind of wondering if it might have been a rooster for how little she laid and her small body size, but I think that was just indicative of the breed. So when she started to lay, she's our only one that lays white eggs, and we were getting a white egg on days when we didn't get any other eggs, and she was a really reliable layer. The next one I have, the third on the list, is meat. So chicken meat, of course, is one of the main products that people say when you ask them what do chickens provide. And Cornish crosses are one of the most popular meat breeds. If they're fed right, they can, you know, on a farm, on a small farm operation like this, they can be to butcher weight, which is about 4.5 pounds, 4 to 5 pounds, in 7 to 8 weeks. And so that is a pretty impressive feat, to get 5 pounds of chicken in only 2 months. So I was looking at a chickenthistlefarm.com, and in their article, 2011 pastured chicken, the season statistics on that year's chickens, they found that they got, on their feed to meat conversion ratio, they had 3.9 pounds of feed per 1 pound of meat. So for every almost 4 pounds of food, they got 1 pound of meat. So if a chicken weighs 5 pounds, that's 20 pounds of feed over the season, which is less, it's like half a bag of feed. And on some of the factory birds that, you know, they raise 20,000 birds at a time and everything's automated, they can get 2 to 1, but their feed is, none of the chickens are free ranging, which is one of the ones that we try to strive for. The next, number 4 on the list I put, was tillage. So the chickens can work your soil for you in your garden. They can eat the bugs out of the soil that are harmful to your plants. They can prepare gardening sites for you. They'll till up and churn up the soil really well. They'll also eat weed seeds out of there, which are nice. They'll also eat your garden seeds out if they happen to get into your garden after you plant. So that is something you need to watch out for. Number 5 on the list is pest control. They will eat all sorts of bugs, and they'll even eat mice and snakes if those are unfortunate enough to enter into their coop. Another and the last thing I put on the pros, there are lots of reasons to raise chickens, but the last one I put on here is entertainment. The chickens are really fun to watch. If you are bored, you know, you don't want to watch TV because they're the same stuff all the time on TV, you can watch the chickens, and their antics are truly entertaining. They have personalities, each and every one of them, and how they interact with the other chickens is different and funny. Sometimes it's not funny, sometimes it's rather violent, but that just goes with the territory, I suppose. Some of the cons, we'll jump right into the cons of having chickens. They like to poop everywhere. So I said that poop is a good thing, but that's if it's controlled as to where they put it. My wife, on her blog that, for grit.com, as I mentioned earlier, she wrote that chickens are notorious for pooping and things, and some of the lessons that we've learned is that the chickens will roost wherever they want, and they will poop wherever they want. My wife says in her article that we had to fence off the front porch at one point so that the chickens would stop pooping in her shoes. And I remember nothing quite like going to put the shoes on and seeing a big ol' chicken dropping right in the middle of it. It's not awesome. So the next, another thing that she wrote, another con to having a chicken is the noise. When we lived in Idaho, it was one of the city ordinances that you couldn't have chickens unless you asked everyone within 100-foot radius of your property if they were okay with it. And I asked why that was, and the person for the county or the city told me that it was because the chickens made a lot of noise, and also apparently it was a rodent problem with the feed and stuff like that. But we keep our feed in metal garbage cans, and we've never had a rodent problem with it at all. Roosters can be noisy. That's just part of the territory. There aren't any roosters that I know of that don't crow, and it's not a problem. You get used to it pretty quickly. And roosters don't just crow in the morning. They crow all day and sometimes in the middle of the night. Another thing I wrote on there was the destruction of your garden. As we mentioned earlier, they like to eat weed seeds, but they also like to eat your plant seeds, because nothing quite like a freshly sprouted corn seed, which is, you know, not too far under the soil for a chicken to gobble up. They'll also tear through your beds if you've put down a straw for a deep mulch garden. They will throw that straw everywhere, trying to get underneath the straw to see what's underneath it, I guess. And it can be rather destructive. We've had a few times the chickens flew the coop and went into the garden after spring planting and caused quite the mess. It is interesting, though, because if they don't get the seeds and they just, you know, if they miss the seeds as they're scratching, then you have seeds all over the garden, tomatoes growing in weird spots and corn growing up in other places, and that from where they spread everything all over the place. Also, if your chickens are too many chickens in a small area, or if you have wet climate, or, you know, there's lots of reasons. Maybe the not enough organic material for them to walk on, then things start to get smelly, and there's definitely a particular aroma to chickens that is not pleasant. There are other cons to having chickens, but I think that the pros outweigh the cons, especially on a homestead situation or a small farm. There are just so many good things that they provide that outweighs the cons to raising birds. So as I promised, I'll give you a few breeds here, a brief overview of some of the chicken breeds. So one of the main chickens that people use for laying eggs is the Rhode Island Reds. That's kind of a homestead staple. And they're the reddish brown chickens, medium body size. I think they're considered a dual purpose breed, but they excel at laying eggs and they're hardy. The next one I put on here is Leghorns. They're the white chickens. They are not meat birds. They have very small bodies, but they lay a big egg, and they lay a lot of eggs a year. The Red and Black Star are both chicken breeds that have been hybridized to lay a lot of eggs. They lay brown eggs. The Rhode Island Reds lay brown eggs as well. Orpingtons are a dual-purpose breed. They have a larger body, and they kind of waddle when they walk. We've had Orpingtons, and they've all been very nice, gentle chickens. They lay pretty decent. I think the Australorps, which is the next one, they're a mix of two different kinds of chickens, one being the Australorps, or one being the Orpingtons, rather, and typically black Australorps are the ones you find, and we've had some of those, and those are ones I really like because they don't fly out that often. They've got the body size of the Orpingtons, and they've won awards with how many eggs they lay. I think the conditions have to be just right for them to lay as much as the people say, like 300 plus a year. We haven't ever got that out of our chickens, but we don't add light to extend the egg laying season or anything like that. We try to keep the cycles as natural as possible. The next one I wanted is the Americanas, also Araucanas, Easter Eggers. Some people will argue that those are all different breeds, but they look very similar. I think ones have long tail feathers and ones have short tail feathers, but they all lay eggs that are different colors, like blue and green and purple or pink and stuff like that. So those are chickens that they're flighty. They don't particularly have really big bodies. They're supposedly a dual-purpose breed, but I haven't found that they're very, you know, they excel in either one, laying eggs or breeding. And that's what a lot of people have said about dual-purpose breeds I've heard, is that they're not good at either. That if you want eggs, get an egg breed. Or if you want meat, get a meat breed. But I want both, and I'm okay with having mediocre egg production and you know, decent sized carcass. Doesn't have to be really big like a Cornish cross. Another one that's kind of a farm staple is the Plymouth Rock, which is the, or Barred Rock as some call them. They have the white and black stripes on their feathers. They get pretty decent size and they lay pretty well. We had our first chicken that ever hatched out a group of eggs was a Barred Rock, and she was right after they hatched out, then the coyotes ate them all, which is a sad story, that she laid them out in the fern, under a fern, and we only found them by following her. The next is the Bantam breeds. They are the small, really small bodied breeds, and they're supposedly the best mothers. I haven't had any Bantam chickens since I've been an adult. My grandpa had some when we were kids, and the roosters were quite ferocious. Even though they're only like 6 inches tall, they would definitely try to fight you, and it's scary, but they didn't really hurt you. the mothers are great at hatching any sort of eggs, whether they be full-size chicken eggs or duck eggs, or from what I've heard. I have a neighbor who wanted some of our chicken eggs so that he could put it under his broody hen, he had a little bantam, which we always call them banties, but he said he had a little banty hen, and she was starting to get broody, so he wanted some eggs to put under her. And as far as I know, she hatched them out. He also got some pheasant eggs from his brother, and they hatched those out too. Well, that wraps up for just a brief overview on some of the chicken breeds. If you want to know more about them, Google is the best resource that I've found. There's also some really good books out there on chickens and the chicken breeds and what people, how they feel about them. Everybody has their own favorite breed, but what we've found the best were the Black Australorps. That's the ones that we've liked the best, and I think that's what we will try to gravitate more towards, is the Australorps, just because of how gentle they are and how many eggs they lay and how hardy they are. And we haven't lost them due to freezing or predation, as like we have on some of the other ones. Thanks for listening to the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Don't forget to check us out at havenhomestead.com. Thanks for listening.